Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us. I'm Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. I'm your host, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We have been spending the past couple of days looking at an article that is on an official Mormon website, an article titled Mormonism 101, Frequently Asked Questions. And in the introductory paragraphs to this article, it says, as an institution, the Church, speaking of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has the responsibility to publicly and clearly articulate its official teachings. And as we've discussed over the past couple of days, this is a difficulty that many find in trying to ask questions of our LDS friends as to what do they really believe on these issues. And one thing we find very quickly, Eric, is when they go through what they believe, the clearly articulating its official teachings tends to break down rather quickly because we do not share the same definition for terms that are used by both parties, speaking of generally in the Christian community and the LDS community, even though we may use some of the same words, if these words are not defined, right off the bat, you're not communicating.
Well, communication has to be what you intend to have understood and for the person to understand what you actually mean. And what we have here is a failure to communicate because they use such broad, general, the whole thing with general terms that if you come from any kind of a Christian background, you're not going to understand because they're not going to give you full disclosure here with the words that they're using.
No, they're not. But remember, folks, they are the ones that have said on this page, as an institution, the Church has the responsibility to publicly and clearly articulate its official teaching. So let's look at some of those teachings that it includes here. It asks the question, what are the core beliefs of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? And then it gives 3 points. The first point is, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and the Son of our loving Heavenly Father. Latter-day Saints believe God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to save all mankind from their sins. Now, coming from a biblical perspective, Eric, would you understand in reading this, that when they say God sent His Son, would you understand that to mean that God sent His literal offspring from a relationship between Himself and His heavenly wife to the earth to save mankind? I wouldn't have understood it that way.
You have to be able to read into it, and there's no chance if you're trying to tell somebody, a reporter who has no prior knowledge to what the Mormon Church teaches, it's impossible for him to understand what is being said here. So this is such a general way of saying it, and it would be easily misunderstood.
Now, this literal offspring between God and His heavenly wife, or wives, if you're a 19th century Mormon like Orson Pratt, he would have looked at God as being a practicing polygamist, as did many early LDS leaders, and that's kind of how they justified plural marriage in the early church. Now, this God sends His literal Son, Jesus Christ, to save all mankind from their sins. Now, again, coming from a biblical worldview, I would assume that what this means is that Mormonism is teaching what we would understand as a pure definition of universalism, that God is going to save all mankind, but in my understanding, a person who is saved is a person who is going to enjoy heaven just the same as all other saved beings are going to enjoy heaven or the presence of Heavenly Father and our Savior.
Well, and the verse that they quote is the favorite verse of so many at the football games, John 3:16 placards that are being shown. And what does it say? For God so loved the world. It goes on and says, whosoever believes in Him. And here, to save all mankind, that's confusing to use that verse to when they're saying that all mankind is going to be saved from their sins.
Plus, it uses the phrase from their sins, and as we know, many Latter-day Saints like to point out that it doesn't mean in their sins. And yet we have found many LDS leaders in making that distinction make the requirement for this forgiveness of sins so high, the bar is so high, that if you're going to take it the way these Mormon leaders have taught, that basically means that you have to overcome all your sins. You have to do that. If you have sin in your life, that means you're not free from your sins. And according to Alma 11:37, God cannot save you in your sins, so you have to overcome that.
If anybody wants to learn more about that, we have a whole series on our podcasts on the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness. We spent a long time talking about that very issue.
They are a little more upfront when it comes into the next statement where it talks about Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, we have to define what does it mean by Son. Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, are two separate beings, but along with the Holy Ghost, or Spirit in parentheses, are one in will, purpose, and love. I wonder why they didn't put Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit in and say that there are three separate beings.
That's what they usually do.
They normally do, but for some reason they didn't do that here. They make it sound like there's only two within the Godhead. Now again, I'm trying to understand this as an outsider, not knowing anything about the Mormon Church. And remember, they have set the standard on how they are supposed to explain their official teachings. They are supposed to do it clearly and articulately. But if you have people looking at these things coming from different perspectives, they can misunderstand some of these words that they are using and draw the wrong conclusion. So they're not being all that articulate as they claim they should be.
Well, and then the next statement here, Bill, it says Latter-day Saints worship Jesus Christ as their Savior and Redeemer. You've had a number of conversations, Bill, with Latter-day Saints and asked them what it took to have Jesus be their Savior.
I've asked many Latter-day Saints, if you're going to say that Jesus is your Savior, what do you have to do in order for Jesus to be your Savior? And the answer is always the same. You have to repent of your sins, and you ask them, how many sins must you repent of? They will tell you all of them. And when you ask them, well, how are you doing at that? They will always say they haven't accomplished that yet. They haven't repented of all their sins because repentance involves confession and not doing it ever again. And Mormons are like everybody else. They struggle with sin like we do. But then you go on to say, well, don't you also have to keep commandments? And they'll say, well, yes, absolutely. Well, how many commandments must you keep? They will say all of them. Well, how are you doing at that? And they may say, well, they're trying, but they will admit that they haven't accomplished at keeping all the commandments. So if in order for Jesus to be their Savior, they must repent of all their sins and keep all of the commandments, wouldn't it be correct to conclude that because no Mormon has done that, that there are really no Mormons that are worshiping Jesus Christ as their Savior because they have not met the requirements for Jesus to be their Savior?
And down deep, every single Mormon knows that, and they understand the responsibility they have. You had a conversation a few years ago in Manti where you were called arrogant for saying that you knew that you have eternal life according to 1 John 5:13.
Absolutely, because in Mormonism, in order to have that assurance of the forgiveness of sins, you need to overcome your sins. And the Mormon that I was talking to interpreted my answer as being arrogant because to him it appeared that I was saying that I have overcome my sin. Knowing that's what he was thinking, I head him off at the pass and I explained to him what I meant by that. But see, again, this is not being very clear. It's not being very articulate. And when it goes on to say that they, speaking of members of the LDS Church, accept his grace and mercy, do they really? His grace and mercy for what?
What do they mean by grace and mercy?
Yeah, in order for them to accept his grace and mercy, in order to have the assurance that the grace has been applied to them, this is what they must do. According to Moroni 10:32, it says in the Book of Mormon, "Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ." So I have to look at this statement, they accept his grace and mercy. Well, the only way a Latter-day Saint could truly do that is if they have denied themselves of all ungodliness. And I've never met a Mormon who has done that. So what does this phrase really mean to a person who has no understanding of Mormonism?
Well, how many times do we bring out Ephesians 2:8-9 that talks about how we're saved by grace through faith, not by works? How often do we get the Mormon to respond, oh, so are you saying then that you don't believe in good works? They cannot accept the idea that God's grace is a free gift, that it's nothing that we do in order to obtain that. They mess that up completely.
If I had no understanding of Mormonism, I would have never at all believed that when they say they accept his grace and mercy, that it was within the context of Moroni 10:32.
No.
Because as a Bible-believing Christian, when I say that I accept his grace and mercy, I accept his grace and mercy in spite of the fact that I am a sinner who sins continually. I have not stopped sinning. I have not overcome my sin. I still struggle with sin. In essence, they are not saying the same thing that I would be saying, but yet they don't clearly explain the difference here.
Well, I mean, in 2 Nephi 25:23, it says it's by grace that we are saved after all we can do. That's not explained here. They accept Christ's grace and mercy, but there's so much more to it than that.
And we know that Mormon leaders of the past and in church manuals, when they use that phrase, after all you can do, it talks about the effort on behalf of the individual in order to hope to get what he's wanting. And that's not what we would say as Bible-believing Christians. We certainly wouldn't understand it that way. So really what we have here is a statement that only makes the confusion even more.
Absolutely.
But we go back to what it says in the opening paragraphs. They have a responsibility to publicly and clearly articulate their official teachings.
They're not doing that.
I would say in point number one, I would say that the Mormon Church has failed in doing that. And yet we have many more that we need to look at to show that the Mormon Church, in trying to explain its positions, they are not being clear. They are not being articulate. And so is it any wonder that many people will draw the wrong conclusion and say things about the Mormon Church that probably aren't totally accurate? How is a person to really know what the position of the church is with this kind of language?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.